Thank you, Maria.
Let's turn in our Bibles to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. And tonight we want to look at verse 3, but for the context, let's read verses 2 and 3. Daniel 12, verses 2 and 3. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these moments that we have to come apart from the world and to open the scriptures together. We thank you, Lord, for Daniel, for his testimony, for the example that he is to us, and for his love for you. We just pray that you would teach us now from his writings. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Daniel is given words of comfort in chapter 12. Finally, in the previous chapters, going way back, most of the book of Daniel has to do with the horrible judgments that are going to fall upon the children of Israel. And in particular, the last few chapters have described some horrible disasters that await Israel in her future. And so after all of these prophecies, most of which were negative, most of them had to do with the judgments that awaited the children of Israel for their disobedience, finally, in Daniel chapter 12, the prophet is given some words of encouragement. And three things are given to him in this chapter, at least in the first part, that were designed to encourage not only Daniel, who at a very old age, in his 90s, was given this revelation, which must have really shaken him to the bones as he contemplated what God had in store for this people. But these words of comfort were not only for him, but also for his people in that day, and for Jewish people ever since. This is a book that is designed ultimately to bring encouragement to the Jews as they face the times of the Gentiles, as they face these many, many centuries of persecution and suffering and slaughter. And so the first thing that Daniel was told in chapter 12 is that one day, in the midst of all of this persecution, one day Michael the archangel will stand up for their defense, supernaturally. And secondly, Daniel is told in verse 1 that at one time thy people shall be delivered, every one of them that be found written in the book. So the Jewish people are promised that one day Michael the archangel will stand up to defend them, and deliverance will finally come to Zion. My guess is that there are some religious Jews, maybe not born again, but religious Jews living in the land today as they're watching the nations all around them on fire, so to speak. My guess is that some of them would be very encouraged to read these words of Daniel, that deliverance is coming for them one day. And the final word of comfort and exhortation that we began to look at last week is found in verse 2, where Daniel describes, in Old Testament terms, God's plan for resurrection. So in spite of all the judgments that they face, in spite of all the persecution that they were enduring, a better day is coming. One day their bodies will be raised. And now the Old Testament saints didn't have all the information that we have about God's plan for resurrection, but they did have some. And here Daniel knew in verse 2 that there were two phases to God's resurrection program. There is a resurrection unto life, but there is also a resurrection unto shame and everlasting contempt. One is for believers, and the other is for the unbelievers. Now tonight, we're going to see that Daniel also was aware of the fact, he was given revelation that in conjunction with God's resurrection plan and program for the ages is associated crowns and rewards and blessings. And that's what he tells us in verse 3. So let's look at verse 3. "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." They that be wise. Here, in context, remember we always have to read a passage in context. Daniel has just been describing the slaughter of Antiochus Epiphanes against his people. That was still prophetic from Daniel's perspective. And also, he, at the very end of chapter 11, he describes the slaughter that will be leveled against the Jews in the future from our perspective in the last days of the Antichrist. So both of these times of slaughter were future from Daniel's point of view. And when all of that judgment falls, when all of that, those expressions of God's indignation against his people for their rebellion against him, in the midst of that, there will be some godly Jews, Daniel says, who will shine to the glory of God. And who are those? They that be wise. That's what he says in verse 2, rather in verse 3. "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." So here is an expression that refers back to those Jews in verse 2 who participate in the resurrection unto life. So though they were experiencing persecution in their own day, they were going to experience resurrection unto life one day. And those Jews, those believing Jews that will be experiencing resurrection unto life, they're going to be raised up in glorified bodies, just like we will be raised up in glorified bodies. And they're going to be raised up in glorified bodies in order to participate with the Lord Jesus as he returns. Now keep in mind, the coming of the Lord and the resurrection of the saints and his rewards are always considered together. Whether it be the coming of the Lord for Israel, the second coming, or whether it be the coming of the Lord for the church, the resurrection of the saints, the coming of the Lord, and our rewards are all spoken together. And that's what Daniel is predicting. He knew nothing of the fact that believing Gentiles would be participating in this resurrection unto life. He knew nothing of the church age that would transpire between the 69th and 70th week of Daniel, but he did know that his own people were suffering and that God gave him these marvelous words of encouragement that they would be raised to life. Every believing Jew would be raised in, as part of the resurrection unto life. But in particular, there are some that will be wise. Not every believer is wise. Not every Christian is wise. Not every Christian walks in wisdom. And, as is the case with the believer in this age, so is the case with the believer in the Old Testament. Not every believing Jew that will participate in the resurrection unto life necessarily lived his life in wisdom. But Daniel is talking about those who did live their lives in wisdom. Now turn back to Daniel chapter 11 for a minute. In verse 33, Daniel says, "In the resurrection, those Jews that are raised unto life and are wise will shine as the brightness of the firmament." Now back in chapter 11, in verse 33, Daniel says, "And they that understand among the people," that's the same term, they that be wise, they that understand, "they that are discerning among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame and by captivity and by spoil many days." Now remember, the first part of Daniel chapter 11, much of this dealt with godly Jews who lived in the Greek Empire in the days of Antiochus Epiphanes, and those godly Jews Daniel records, some of them were men of understanding. They were godly Jews. They had wisdom and understanding and discernment. And what did they do with the gift of wisdom and understanding that God gave to them? They instructed many. And look in verse 35. And some of them of understanding, the same term, shall fall. So here we discover that the godly that lived in the days of Antiochus Epiphanes, those godly Jews that served and used their wisdom in a right way to encourage their people, many of them would die. Many of them would be slaughtered. And so now we come to chapter 12 and in verse 3, and now Daniel's looking ahead to the future, to the resurrection unto life, and in particular, godly Jews that will be raised unto life. And he says, and they that have understanding, the same folks that he described in chapter 11, godly Jews who had wisdom and understanding and discernment and helped others, they're going to shine as the brightness of the firmament. And those godly Jews that live in the last days, as the Antichrist pours out his wrath and his hatred and his anger against the children of Israel, there will be godly Jews in that day as well. There will be wise men who instruct others. And Daniel says they're going to shine as the brightness of the firmament. Daniel is speaking here about a promise that God has for the believing Jews of the Old Testament. And this promise is not only are they going to experience resurrection life, not only will they be raised unto new life and receive glorified bodies at the second coming of Christ, every genuinely born-again saint will be raised unto life. That resurrection unto life is for all the saints. But associated with the resurrection of the saint is also his reward. Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." And so when the Lord Jesus returns in power and great glory as the deliverer who returns to Zion, and the godly Jews who suffered in ages past are raised up, especially those godly Jews who were wise and discerning and ministered to others in periods of persecution, they're going to shine as the brightness of the firmament. Not just those Jews that were justified by faith, like Father Abraham, but those Jews who were justified by faith and who were godly and wise. Those believing Jews who were spiritually minded, who chose not to live like a fool, as described in their book of Proverbs, but rather chose to live like a wise man. Those Jews are going to be rewarded for all eternity with the capacity to shine and to reflect and manifest the glory of God in a greater way than other Jews who live for themselves. So all believers will shine in the resurrection, but some believers will shine brighter and more gloriously than others. You know, this is true in our resurrection as well. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul described this with respect to our resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 41. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differ from another in glory. Now we can look up at the night sky and see that with the naked eye. You can see a heaven, a firmament, the expanse full of stars, and they're all bright, they're all shining brightly, or you wouldn't see them. But clearly some are brighter than others. That's what Paul says here in the physical realm. All stars are bright, but some shine brighter than others. Some have more glory than others. And then Paul uses that illustration from creation, and he applies it to the resurrection of the dead. And he says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. In other words, in the resurrection, when believers are raised unto life and are given glorified bodies and are rewarded, Christians at the Bema Seat and Old Testament saints at the second coming of Christ, when the believer is raised up and given a glorified body suited for all eternity, he is given rewards. He is given crowns of glory. But one star differ from another in glory. Not every star shines as brightly as the others. And Paul's application here is that in the resurrection, not every believer is going to have the same amount of reward, the same amount of crowns, the same amount of glory, the same capacity to worship and serve the Lord throughout all eternity. So here is a distinction that we see here, as well as in the book of Daniel. So what Paul describes for us in 1 Corinthians 15, although he includes many new details, some of the basic fundamentals of the resurrection, Paul knew from reading the Old Testament book of Daniel. You know, think of stars shining in the sky. I'm sure we've all gone out on a dark night and have looked into the sky. Well, look what the psalmist said. Turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. In chapter 1. Chapter 19 in verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, the expanse, that great vast expanse of space, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So just as the stars in heaven are God's handiwork, they were created by him, and just as we discover elsewhere that they all have a different capacity to shine, they shine with some with glory, some with more glory, some with much more glory. So too the believer in the resurrection. We're going to have a capacity to shine, to reflect God's glory, and to bring glory to God. But not every believer will be able to shine with the same brightness. Daniel teaches us that in the resurrection, as we enter into our glorified bodies, and remember, he had in mind Jewish saints at the second coming of Christ, but the same is true of us at the coming of the Lord for the church, at the rapture. In the resurrection, when we enter the glorified state, just as stars shine and declare the glory of God, our purpose throughout all eternity is going to be to shine and to declare the glory of God. And Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3 teaches us that the capacity to shine, the capacity to shine in the as the brightness of the heavens, is reserved for those that are wise. All Old Testament saints will be raised from the dead, and all Old Testament saints will shine for the glory of God, but some are going to shine as the firmament, Daniel says, and that refers to the wise here. Godly Old Testament saints who had spiritual wisdom are going to shine brighter than Old Testament saints, perhaps like Lot, who lived for himself, who was carnal, who was worldly, or others. Some will shine brighter than others. And our capacity to shine and glorify God is contingent upon the way we live today. Do we walk in wisdom, or do we walk as the fool walked in Proverbs, carelessly, foolishly, carnally, worldly? The believer that walks wisely is going to shine brightly forever and ever. And so this is an Old Testament illustration that Daniel used. And it's the very same concept that we find in the New Testament, only the Apostle Paul uses a different illustration to teach the very same truth. Paul spoke of rewards associated with the church, not as stars shining brightly, but Paul spoke of rewards for the church for faithful living, for living a wise life and a godly life. He described those rewards as crowns. Crowns which will represent a life of faithfulness, a life of dedication, a life sold out in the service of Jesus Christ. And that's going to affect our capacity to worship forever. The way we live our lives today is going to affect our capacity to worship God forever. Think about that. Our faithfulness, our attitude, our works, all of this matters. Our diligence in our spiritual lives, our faithfulness in sharing the gospel, our faithfulness in filling our minds with the things of Christ and thinking on things that are pure. All of that is going to affect our ability to serve the Lord and to bring glory to Him forever and ever and ever. So our present life is but a vapor, James says. And a vapor goes very quickly. The way we live matters. Our faithfulness to Christ and His body matters. Because while all believers will shine, some believers will shine as the brilliance of heaven. Some will shine more than others. And that's because we don't all bear fruit to the same degree. Some bear 30-fold, some bear fruit 60-fold, some 100-fold. And you know, the rewards of heaven are the great equalizer. Some might complain, salvation is by grace. It has nothing to do with our works whatsoever. It has nothing to do with our lifestyle. It has nothing to do with how wise we are in our daily lives. But when we're judged at the Bema Seat, or when the Old Testament saints are judged and rewarded at His coming, we're going to be judged not according to grace. We're going to be judged according to our works. We're going to be judged according to our service, according to our faithfulness. So I guess you could say the brighter we shine for the Lord in this life, the brighter we'll shine for the Lord in the life to come. So believers who are sort of casual about their relationship to God, casual about their worship, casual about their service, and they'll receive rewards accordingly. But you see, our service is only for a short amount of time. And if we're faithful in that little vapor called our life, we will be rewarded forever and ever and ever with a greater capacity to serve and to worship and to love the Lord. And that's throughout all eternity. And that's something to think about. That means that every moment of our lives is valuable. And this life is really our preparation for eternity. So our life, our attitude, our worship, our service, all of that has eternal consequences. And that's what Daniel knew way back then. That the wise in Israel would shine as the brightness of the firmament forever. And so don't waste your life on trivialities. Our lives are valuable beyond description. And therefore, we shouldn't waste a moment. We should make our lives count for all eternity. Now back to Daniel 12 and verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And he goes on to say, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So the first description that Daniel gives of the godly is they that are wise. Godly Jews that are wise will shine as the brightness of the firmament in Resurrection Day. And why? Because they were wise and discerning, and they used their wisdom to minister to others in the service of the Lord. That's why they'll shine for all eternity. But there's a second description to the godly that will shine in this passage. And here they're described as they that turn many to righteousness. They that turn many to righteousness. Now again, put this in the context in which it's found. And go back, if you would, to Daniel chapter 11 and verse 35. And some of them of understanding, that's our term, they that are wise, shall fall, and to try them and to purge them and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. God has a special purpose for the wise that live in times of persecution, and here he's describing in the end times. Look in verse 33. And they that understand among the people, there's our term again, the wise, the discerning, shall instruct many. So what would the godly Jew be doing, instructing many under the Greek Empire in the days of Antiochus Epiphanes? Well, remember what the goal was of Antiochus, if we can remember that far back. His goal was to Hellenize the Jews. His goal was to corrupt Jewish customs and practice, cause them to forsake the law of Moses and become completely Hellenized or Greek and pagan in their lifestyle. He was trying to force them into a worldly lifestyle, if you will, the culture of Greece. And in those days, there were some godly Jews who stood against them. There were some godly Jews who loved the Lord with all their heart, and they were willing to put their lives on the line and instruct other Jews, don't follow his lies. Don't go along with Antiochus. Stick to the law of Moses. And some of them, we read, died. And later in chapter 11, in the days of the Antichrist, there will be wise and godly Jews in those last days as well, as was the case in the days of Antiochus. And in those days, there will be godly Jews who will be hearing from the Antichrist the lies of the devil. Receive the mark of the beast. Bow down and worship the image of the beast. And there will be discerning Jews who turn others to righteousness. There will be godly Jews in that day who will encourage their fellow Jews not to go along with the Antichrist, be willing to suffer rather than to receive the mark of the beast. And keep one hand there and turn to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. And beginning in verse 4. Here we skip ahead into the days of the Antichrist and the tribulation period. And John writes of that time, and I heard the number of them that which were sealed, and the number, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So in that future day, there are going to be 144,000 male Jewish witnesses. From every tribe in Israel, the tribes are not lost, from every tribe in Israel, and God is going to send out these wise and discerning and godly Jews who love the Lord and are willing to turn others to righteousness. And many will receive the Lord in that day, and there will be multitudes, notice in verse 9, and after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And then skip down to verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, the second half of the tribulation period, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And so here we discover that in the tribulation period, there are going to be 144,000 godly Jews who are willing to put their lives on the line in order to turn many to righteousness. And Daniel tells us that those Jews will shine as the brightness of the firmament forever. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom, now what's the gospel of the kingdom? Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we don't preach that in this age because it's no longer at hand. The rapture is at hand. But in this day, in the tribulation, the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached again in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And God is going to use these godly Jews who will suffer greatly and will pay a great price to turn many unto righteousness. Now go back to Daniel chapter 12 again. Daniel tells us that they that turn many unto righteousness are going to shine as the stars forever and ever. Now that's what we read in the immediate context of Daniel. Daniel is speaking here about godly Jews throughout Israel's history who have been willing to stand up for the truth of God's Word, put their lives on the line, point out the errors of whether it's Antiochus or the Antichrist or whatever form of paganism seeks to encroach upon them. There have always been godly Jews that have said no and resisted that and have instructed their people and encouraged them to walk with the Lord and to walk in obedience to the law of Moses. Now Daniel says, what shall they have who gave their lives to turn others to the Lord and to Christ? Forever and ever, they will shine as the brightness of the stars in heaven. And you know, that's our privilege as well. It's our privilege to turn others to righteousness. Now, not in the same way that the 144,000 will, but perhaps in a way that, in some sense, is even more glorious than turning to others to righteousness in that day. This is the day to turn others to righteousness. This is the dispensation of the grace of God. And God has given us open doors and opportunity to bring the gospel message, the message of repentance unto life, to all the world. And so by making application to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3, the believer in this age that is used of the Lord to turn others to righteousness, to justification by faith, by turning them to Christ, they will shine as stars forever and ever. That's our crown of rejoicing. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 19, here Paul says of the Thessalonian believers whom he led to the Lord, he says, For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Now notice that the Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonians, many of whom he led to the Lord, And he said, you're my crown. You're my crown of rejoicing. And what Paul was saying was that when Paul gets to heaven, God is going to give him a crown. A crown that is given to those who turn many to righteousness. A crown that is given to those who live wisely and use their skills and ability and resources and whatever they have to point others to righteousness and to truth and to Christ. And when some respond in faith, that's a crown of rejoicing, Paul says, for himself or for the missionary. But you know, you don't have to be an apostle or a missionary to receive a crown of rejoicing. All you have to do is share the good news. And those who respond in faith and those who are born again will forever and ever and ever give you an occasion to shine like a shiny crown on your head and reflect the glory of God, or to use Daniel's illustration, to shine as the brightness of the firmament. So believers like Paul, believers in our age, who are faithful in leading others to Christ, who are faithful in passing out tracts, who are faithful in giving to missions, who are faithful in helping out missions, who are faithful and interested in praying for those that are lost, those that are used in any way to turn others to righteousness, Daniel tells us will shine as the brightness of heaven forever and ever. There are special crowns, to use Paul's metaphor. There is a special brightness, to use Daniel's illustration, that will belong to those who are wise, and because they're wise, they'll turn others to righteousness. You know, that is an expression of wisdom, sharing the gospel. Those are the ones that are truly wise, as we read in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. They're wise because they use their time wisely. They're wise because they choose not to live as fools and squander their time. They choose to live for the Lord and do what God wants them to do. You know, the world may look at a young person who gives up his life to go to the mission field as a fool. But God considers him wise. And the one who gives up a little portion of his life, which is his whole life together, is nothing but a vapor. And to give up a vapor of service for an eternity of reward is a pretty good investment. They that are wise, they're going to have a capacity to shine. They're going to have a capacity to serve and to worship and to glorify God beyond what the average believer will have. Now, back in Daniel chapter 12, look at the end of verse 3. And how long does this capacity to shine as the stars of heaven last? Forever and ever. The promise is that those who are wise and turn others to righteousness, those who live a godly life and are yielded and are willing to be used to point others to the truth, that is wisdom. And they're going to shine for all eternity. That's true wisdom. To sacrifice a little down here, namely our all, putting our all on the altar, which from eternity's perspective is not much. For a little while, our whole life, but when you consider our whole life as a vapor, it's not much. But we're going to gain much in heaven. And that's going to last forever and forever. Priceless crowns. Priceless capacity to shine and serve and love and glorify God. Now all believers will love the Lord in heaven. And all will have a capacity to serve Him and to shine. But some will have more than others. And it's our choice. Or to use the words of that well-known Plymouth Brethren missionary, Jim Elliott, he said, He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. That's kind of what Daniel is teaching us here in Daniel chapter 12 in verse 3. The godly Jews throughout the ages who suffered and gave up, some of them, their lives in order to minister to God's people and encourage others to go on in the things of the Lord and to point others to righteousness. Some of them lost with their lives. And we read in the book of the Revelation, many will be beheaded. But it's really a small price when you think of the reward. And you know, in the age of grace, while Daniel didn't have the church age in mind here, I think the application is obvious. Being engaged in evangelism in any way we can is wisdom. It may be costly with our time and our resources and our energy and our finances and our effort, but it pays rewards that last forever and ever. And so as Christians, part of our reward for faithfulness, as Christians, our reward is greater participation with Christ in His kingdom. We're going to reign with Him. If we're willing to suffer and sacrifice in this life, we will have a greater capacity to reign with Him in the future kingdom. And then turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 43. The Lord Jesus agrees completely with what Daniel wrote. He says, "And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Wise men, Solomon said, will hear. The godly who give up in this life, who sacrifice in this life, who put themselves out in this life, who are willing to go the extra mile in this life, in the life to come, in glory, when we're in our resurrected bodies, we will shine forth as the sun. Here, again, Jews in the kingdom, but Paul says the same of us as Christians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Wise men will hear. How we live our lives today matters for all eternity. Now, one more point back in Daniel chapter 12. The godly will shine, Daniel says. So what of the ungodly? Look at the end of verse 2. Daniel 12 and verse 2 at the end. Some are raised to everlasting life. That's the resurrection for the believer unto everlasting life. But some, the unbeliever, he's not going to be raised unto life to shine for the glory of God. He's going to be raised in a body suited for all eternity to suffer shame and everlasting contempt and reproach. And ultimately, he'll stand at the great white throne judgment. So Daniel closes his book. After all these chapters of judgment and God's indignation, he gives some words of comfort and encouragement to the godly Jews. And then he throws in this warning to the unbeliever, to those who have yet to receive Christ, to believe on, in Daniel's day, to believe on Jehovah God as Abraham did. They're going to be raised one day in a body so that you can be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. And there they're going to be judged according to their works. And just as in heaven, some stars in the heavens, some stars shine brighter than others, and in the resurrection, some believers will have more rewards than others, and they'll have more capacity to glorify God in heaven. But did you know that in hell, the unbelievers will also be rewarded for their works? And though it will be miserable, for torturous for all that are in hell, it will be worse for some. And why will it be worse for some? Because God's judgment is according to truth, and it's also according to light. God judges according to the amount of truth that a person has. And just as Luke tells us, the servant that knew and disobeyed will receive more stripes, greater damnation. And so it will be far worse in hell for those who refuse to receive Christ as their Savior in this life. It will be far worse for those who heard the gospel and never responded than it will be for those who never heard the gospel. In other words, Americans who have heard about the Bible all their lives in one degree or another, have heard about Christianity. Most Americans have heard about Christ and that He died and rose again, and they've paid no attention to it. It will be far worse for those folks because we have sinned against greater light than against those in the jungles of Africa or Brazil who never heard. But you know, it will be worst of all for the young person brought up in a Christian home who sat in a pew and listened to the gospel and heard the Bible day after day, week after week, all their lives, and kept saying, "No, I don't want Christ as my Savior." They had more light than anyone. In fact, Paul describes the one in a Christian home, an unbeliever in a Christian home, as someone who is sanctified. They're in a very special, set-apart position because of all the light they have. They are doubly accountable. To whom much is given, much is required. So if there are any young people here who have never received Christ as your Savior, this verse ought to make you tremble in your boots. And our prayer is that God gives you no rest until you make your rest with Him. But when you do make your rest with God, when you do receive Christ as your Savior, then you get the words of comfort in this book. Then we get to hear that no matter how much difficulty we experience in this life, a better day is coming in the resurrection when we get to see the Lord face to face. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the promise of the resurrection. We thank You, Lord, for the comfort that it is to us as believers. And Lord, also we thank You for the warning that it is to those who have never received Christ. Lord, we pray that if there be here any tonight who have never received Christ as their Savior, that whatever the hindrance is, whatever the obstacle is, Lord, that it might be removed and that they might say yes to the Savior and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And Father, we pray for us as believers that we might be challenged from Daniel to be wise with our time, with our resources, with our gifts, to serve You, to be used of You, to minister in Your name, to turn others to righteousness, that we might receive a well done, Thou good and faithful servant, in glory. And we'll thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen.